Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I said, welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast with Andy Ruther and Joe Prano. Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Ruther, coming to you live from Cincinnati, Ohio, with my co-host from Port Hueneme, California, Joey No Chill Prano.
Hello, Andy.
Good Sunday evening, my friend.
Very excited. I'm not going to lie. Very excited for a Sunday pod. Try to smash a slice of pizza before we started. I have a little bit of crust left. Pizza just got delivered right as the show was starting. I was like, yeah, bring me a slice. Let me get a little, just one slice to hold me over. But you know I love a night pod. I've got a beer cracked right here. It was a magical sports Sunday, like a truly magical one, in my opinion. And I'm excited.
Magical. Joe called it magical, guys.
A magical sports Sunday, at least for me. You know, and this has really little to do with the Masters. I know a lot of people, this is the a Sunday unlike any other. 10 a.m. this morning, my Knicks play the final game of the year. They win their 50th game. Overtime win over the Bulls to get to 50. You know, it's kind of the magic number. First 50-win season since the Carmelo getting stuffed by Roy Hibbert, second round loss to the Pacers season. They clinch the 2 seed in the East.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Some theories about guys not, you know, maybe the Bucks and the Cavaliers didn't want the 2 seed, living in fear of the now the Sixers with Embiid back, living in fear of the Jimmy Butler playoff Jimmy Heat. Whichever one of them would end up in the 7 seed after the play-in. A lot of talk of that. Did those teams essentially not try down the stretch because they didn't want to be the 2 seed? Did they essentially give it to the Knicks? And I got to say, I fucking love it. Knicks, this Knicks team at least, I can't speak for all Knicks teams because there's been a lot of fucking shitty Knicks teams. This Knicks team, they don't give a fuck who they play. They're not afraid of anybody. They're like, we want the 2 seed. We want home court in the second round. We're not worried about the Heat. We're not worried about the Sixers. We're not trying to get a weird draw to play the Pacers in the first round. Let's fucking go. Followed by, go straight from the Knicks game to the 7th inning of the Mets game. Mets get score a couple runs in the bottom of the 8th. Edwin Diaz comes in the 9th for his first home save. The trumpets blare. He gets his first home save. Mets have won their 3rd series in a row. The Mets are officially back to being the roller coaster of fucking shit that they've been my whole life. They can't just be bad and like let it be bad. They have to be a roller coaster. Here we are. Buy the ticket. Take the fucking ride. But they win their 3rd straight series. Followed by what was essentially the last 6-7 holes of the Masters for me. Pretty magical Sunday.
Yeah, now, Matt, guys, he's
jumping his crust.
You finished the crust. I'm just going to make fun of you. He's talking about magical. Magical because the Knicks get a 2 seed. Magical because the Mets win a game and then the Masters.
Oh,
Joe, you've set the bar low for your New York fandom at this point.
Hold on.
You've set it so low.
Hold on. You're missing... You're missing the whole context. It's not about the Knicks getting a 2 seed and the Mets winning a game. It's that all this shit happened today. It's just like, it's Sunday. Like, some Sundays you just get up and it's like, well, I watch the Mets win a game or I watch the Knicks win a game. It's like 1, 2, 3. Like, my girlfriend got up, left for the day. I got 3 great sporting events in a row with 3 outcomes that I enjoyed.
But you know what? It was a magical day here at the Ruther household as well.
Here we go.
It was magical. Young Isla Elaine Ruther was baptized into the Catholic Church today.
Why are you doing this to me? I'm just gonna skip it.
So that's
congratulations to Isla.
Thank you.
Do you say congratulations or do you say like blessed be young Isla?
Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit.
Or some crazy Roman chant, Gregorian chant. Did we have a little white dress this morning? Did we have?
She wasn't feeling it, but she's like a total tomboy. I know she's only one, but she's not a girly girl, which like, dude, you do you, whatever, you know? And, I like how that's your Chappelle now.
Yeah.
But there's like five other families. You do it after Mass now, which we didn't go to. But
man, that's some Cape Catholic shit right there.
Whoa.
Skip math right to the christening.
Well, if she was younger, no problem, but she's at that age where she just wants to walk and move everywhere, right? She's 14 right. months this week. So it's like she's not going to sit still. It would be basically 2 hours at the church.
Yeah.
That's not happening. She could barely do 30 minutes of a baptism, which, you know, whatever. But yeah, so that was my big day. Then we got some Sunday brunch, and she took a nap. Daddy took a nap. Daddy cut the yard. It was a magical. Cut the grass. It was a magical day.
I would argue your day was even more magical because it started with like, let's go do some magic water on our daughter's head. By the way, can I add also that the Mets retired Doc Gooden's number today?
I did see that.
16, officially in the rafters.
Long overdue, by the way.
You know, I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence. I'm happy it happened because the thing is like, who fucking gives a shit? Like when it comes to these numbers, like, you know, it's not like, oh no, oh goodness gracious me. Now somebody won't be able to wear 16. It is tough. I mean, he was a champ. He was, you know, obviously a Cy Young winner. Maybe some would argue 85 is the greatest pitching season ever. Some would argue. But, you know, obviously it was his career as a whole and as a Met didn't quite play out the way people thought it would. So I think that was a big part of the reason it didn't happen. And then essentially another reason it didn't happen is what he revealed today during his speech, which is essentially that he begged the Wilpons to come back on numerous occasions. At least three or four times, even in the end, saying, can I sign a one-day contract to retire a Met? And they effectively told him no every single time. So no one needs another reason to hate the Wilpons, but he gave us one.
Why did he beg them to come back?
Essentially, I think it was 90 or 91. I think it was 90. What the fuck year was it? It was early 90s. Maybe it was not after 92 or 93, in that realm. They walked away from Gooden. They said, you know, we're done. And he understood that. He understood the like, I fucked this up.
Well, his last year was 94 in the Mets.
Right. So 94, I think in the early 90s, it was like he wasn't the same player he was. Moments of brilliance, but whatever. And in 94. They walk away and they said, we're done with this. You know, we're over. This is an era this era is over, but he gets himself together. He signs with the Yankees. He wants to come back after he proves himself a little bit with the Yankees. He proves he can stay sober or whatever. And he wants to come back. They say no. He signs with the Indians. He wants to come back. They say no. He signs with the Astros. He wants to come back. So like every time his contract after he left would be up. He wanted to come back and be a Met, and they essentially just kept saying no. Yeah, fuck. I mean, certainly fuck them for not saying, one last year at the end of your career, or one last day. Let the guy retire a fucking Met. So Steve Cohen kind of doing right by, we've now retired Keith's number. We've retired Doc's number. Daryl will come soon, which, by the way, 16, 17, 18, you know, the Yankees retired of all their single digits. There's a while where the Mets were giving every pitching prospect who came up 32, 33, 34, because Piazza's number was retired. It seemed like maybe they were going to try to do the 30s. But we're now losing the teens. 16, 17, 18 coming. We'll all be retired. Carlos Beltran wore 15. I don't think that he'll get the, but you never know.
You're a numbers guy.
As far as jerseys,
like,
and stuff?
Yeah, like, I don't give a shit about the number a player wears.
Yeah.
And the truth is, I probably don't know as many players' numbers as I should. I just don't pay attention enough.
You know Larkin's number.
11.
Yeah. Yeah. You know Sabo's number. You got the jersey, obviously.
What is he, 17?
Yeah, there you go. You
Eric
know.
Davis is 44.
Right.
So, like, I know some, but.
You know.
Paul O'Neill, 21.
Paul O'Neill, 21. There you go. You know some Reds. You know Votto.
See, look at this. 30?
I think Votto is all. You might be right. Might be 30. I was going to say, was it also 21?
No, you're right. He was, what was he for the Reds? He was 19.
Went 19.
Off. That's right. By the way, is he playing for Toronto?
I don't know. I haven't caught a ton of Toronto games so far.
Well, I knew it was a minor league deal. And he didn't make the...
I know. I mean, as a Mets fan, I know all the fucking... Like, as a kid, you could ask me any player from the fucking Mets when I was a kid. I'll tell you their numbers. I'll tell you the number they changed to. I'll tell you this stint with them, that stint with them. I'll tell you Elster was 21, then he became 7.
Elster.
Dave Magadan was 29, then he was 10. Howard Johnson was 20. Jeffries was 9. You know, like, Mets, as a kid, the Mets, man. Yeah, I know all the Mets numbers.
Did he ever have a deal with the Howard Johnson Hotel?
Should have. That's for sure. Howard Johnson, that's a guy low-key.
Hojo.
You could make a case that dude should have his number retired. He might be one of the most underrated baseball players of all time. Throwing that out there. If you look at his
of record. All time?
Like, no one even fucking talks about the dude. In the 90s on a team that, like, after all those guys left, Howard Johnson doing like multiple 30-30 seasons in the 90s. No one talks about Howard Johnson like he fucking...
What do you mean multiple? So in 91, he had 38 bombs.
38 bombs? In 19... This is pre-steroids. The fucking... Pre-steroids.
Sorry, that's 91.
Middle infielder hitting 38 bombs at Shea? Having a 30-30 season? Gamer. That was what you need to know.
I mean, he had a couple nice seasons, but, you know.
And no one, but I'm just saying, there was a, you know, he's a couple time All Star or whatever. And then, like, just to completely, like, no one even talks about him. You get more talk about guys, you know, oh, Steve Sack's this. Steve Sack can't hold fucking Howard Johnson's nutsack.
This is a good YouTube question here. Hall of Fame dirtball.
I mean, it's not even close. Howard Johnson, the hotel is disgusting. What the fuck are we talking about?
Here? What's better, Howard Johnson, the player, Howard Johnson, the motel?
Howard Johnson, the motel only exists because Howard Johnson's 90s was so fucking fire. It kept that thing on the map. People go, I'll go stay at Hojo's.
Yeah. A Howard Johnson motel is like living in Howard Johnson's beard. You're like, I don't know about that.
They should have had a Howard Johnson 30. 30-30 special, $30 a night, $30 fucking free food voucher or some shit like that.
Yeah, definitely the motel. But I look and feel like I've stayed in one. I'm pretty sure we not confirmed by a doctor that I pink eye. I sound like shit.
Dude, did I somehow pass it through the fucking computer? I mean,
did you have pink eye too?
No, it wasn't pink eye, but I came to the last episode. My eye was fucking swollen shut. Remember that?
We didn't even address, guys, last episode, the one with Ethan Strauss, Joe looked like me after the denting.
I think I mentioned it up in the beginning of the show, didn't I?
Did you?
Or did I not mention it? Or did I mention it to you before we went on air? I think I was like, my eyes fucked up. I made the joke. I did another podcast the day before or something like that. I made the joke for the Mets fans. I was like, I've been watching Brett Beatty with my good eye and Francisco Lindor with my bad eye. I've got a pussy Francisco Lindor eye.
Oh, man. Now you know what I went through.
Yeah.
For months. So let's get back to the NBA.
Let's do it.
Because
you admitted before the show you still don't understand the play-in.
Well, here's what I said before the show. I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand. So traditionally, if you're doing any seeding, a 7 plays a 10, and I'm looking at the bracket, and I'm like, okay, the Pelicans are 7. They play the 8 Lakers. And then in the East, the 7 and 8 Sixers play the Heat. Well, why aren't they playing the 10 seed?
So here's how it works, Andy. There's only 2 spots up for grabs in the play-ins. Okay.
There's 4 teams.
Yeah. So what will happen is the 7 will play the 8, and the winner is automatically the 7 seed. You following so far?
Yeah.
Okay. The 9 and the 10 will play, and the winner of that game will play the loser of the 7-8 game. And the winner of that game gets the 8 seed. So if you are a 7 or 8 seed, you have to lose 2 games to be out of it completely. And if you are a 9 or 10 seed, you have to win 2 games to be in it.
There is almost strategy though. So you talked about it earlier. Like if I'm a Lakers or the Pelicans, I don't want the 7 seed to face the Nuggets, the defending champs.
So this, and I was thinking about this earlier today, because obviously, you know, I'm rooting for the Lakers in terms of rooting for LeBron and whatever. And I would completely agree. If you're a Lakers fan, you want the Thunder. You don't want the Nuggets. That being said, if you were to lose that 7-8 game, now you're playing one game for your life. So if you tank that first game, you're playing the winner of the 9-10 game. One game, one
Where's
random,
that game at? Where's that game at?
The winner, the game, the first game is going to be at the lower seed. It's all at the lower seeds.
No, so right. Even if a 7 seed loses, do they get a home game against the 9-10?
Correct.
All right.
So are you taking the chance if you're the Lakers of, you know, tanking a game just to have a chance to?
Well, let me follow that up. And I think we know the answer. Who do the Lakers have a better chance, or the Pelicans have a better chance of beating in a first round?
The fucking Thunder, for sure.
The Thunder.
But I'm saying you have your whole season online for one random game. Anything can happen in one game. Anything is possible.
Sure.
So it's a dangerous game to play.
Well, sometimes it's fun to be dangerous, Joe.
Listen, you know, I was trying to figure out today where LeBron James's head is at on that. I think LeBron James's head is at, we win, we play the Nuggets. We're going to have to beat. LeBron James's goal is to win a championship. He's like, I'm going to have to beat this team no matter fucking what. So I may as well get it out of the way early. Now, obviously, you know, the fucking ring counting types out there will be like, you lost in the first round, you know. But I think LeBron James is thinking, we got to go through all these teams no matter what. Let's just get done and get that 7 seed.
Well, they whooped the Pelicans' ass today.
Right.
Where was that game? Was that in LA or New Orleans?
I believe it was in New Orleans, but I could be wrong about that. My magical Sunday did not include me watching any of that game live.
You were focused on everything else.
Focused on my New York squads and then golf.
That game was correct. It was in New Orleans. LeBron had a triple double.
Yeah. LeBron, you do a deep dive. You do a shallow dive on the LeBron James stats. This is like, I know we're probably like, grab your fucking Sunday night beers. It's time for the dirty sports drinking game. I'm about to slob on fucking LeBron's knob. But like, he shot better from three than Steph Curry this year. He has averaged 25 points a game for 20 seasons. The next highest total ever is Kevin Durant with 13. He's
20
seasons of 25 plus points per game.
And the next closest is 13 with Durant. That's a shocker there.
Yeah.
That it's Durant.
Then we got, yeah, I mean, he shot better than Steph from three this year. He, you know, in the second half of the year, his stats are this and the, like, they're all out there. Now the season's done. Everybody's doing the season. Like, it's stupid what the guy's doing at this point in his career. It is fucking stupid.
So let me ask you this, though, because we got to talk about it. Is there any chance he's on something?
Sure, there's a chance, I
guess.
There's
got to be, right? There's got to be a chance.
Here's what I'd say about LeBron James and LeBron James's performance-enhancing status. I would bet. Listen, I'm leaving a door open that LeBron James is on something. I'm leaving that door open because this is where we're at in the LeBron James career. And by the way, this is my favorite portion of where the Michael Jordan stands and the LeBron haters have gone. Like, I've seen Sam Tripoli posting it. It's like, we've now reached the point where the haters are saying, he must be cheating. It used to be, he's not as good. And now it's, he's cheating. He's so goddamn good, it can't be real. Which, by the way, I agree with. He's still goddamn good. It seems like it can't be real. I'm going to counter with this. If he's on something, he's smart enough to be on something that's not illegal yet.
Yeah, any of these guys in any league, I always am like, they could all be on something. I don't rule any of it out.
But I like that that's where we're at. We're past the LeBum, the little flop, the choker. Now it's, he's so goddamn good, he must be cheating. I love this. This is my favorite turn, twisted of the roller coaster of coping. This is my favorite. This is my favorite loop. He's fucking cheating.
Yeah, that scoring stat is pretty insane.
There's a million. You'll have fun like tonight. Some of the LeBron year 20 fucking stats. It's bananas. It's bananas.
Well, again, I know I always say this about with quarterbacks in the NFL, and I think it applies to him. The notion that like guys are going to be able to do this for 20 years, like a Brady or a Breeze or whoever, it's just like they're not though. So,
and exactly.
Stop saying like, oh, the offenses are inflated. Well, nobody lasts that long, dude. They just don't.
We've said it. I've said it on the show before, but I will say it again. First of all, that's the big difference between me and, you know, Jordan cock slurpers, which is, dude, I can't wait to say we're done with the 2010s. We're done with the 2020s. People are already showing the stats of Wemby versus LeBron their rookie year. Essentially, the only thing LeBron is better at of any major statistic is assists. Wemby averages more points, more rebounds, higher field goal percentage, higher three-point percentage, higher usage, all every major stat. And it's like, he's already tracking. It's like, yeah, dude. And guess what? He doesn't have to get four rings. If Victor Wembanyama does this for 15 consecutive years, wins multiple championships, oh, and I don't know, breaks all-time fucking scoring record, yeah, he's ahead of LeBron for me.
Yeah. So what's your thoughts on the Knicks then? The Knicks, they get a 2 seed. Who would you like to see them play?
Well, I just want to say this. I'm not afraid of either of these teams. There's this whole thing.
You're talking about the Sixers or the Heat?
Sixers or the Heat. I'm not afraid of them. Honestly. There's no fear toward these teams. A lot of idea that we should be afraid of these two teams. That's not what this fucking Knicks team. I'm sorry. This Knicks team is a lot of things, but one thing they're not is like afraid of a fucking team. But the what I would, if I had to rank my fear, I would be more afraid of the Heat. There's too much fucking history. Riley. I'm more afraid of Riley than I am fucking Embiid. I'm more afraid of Riley than I am Jimmy Butler. I'm just afraid of fucking Riley.
Well, I mean, there is that history.
So, but, you know, it's fun. As a Knicks fan, it's fun to have a home first round series against Philly. You know I love watching fucking Philly lose. Or Miami. The zombie Heat, the fucking playoff Jimmy. This isn't your same old fucking Knicks team. The Bulls today, DeMar DeRozan had 2 chances to win the game. 2 straight up. Here you go. You're a ball. Go win the game. OG Anunoby was like, cool. How'd you shoot on that? Those 2 attempts? 0 for fucking 2? Like, we have. I'm not worried about playoff Jimmy this year. I'm not worried about, like, we got the guys. And we don't have fucking Randall. So, I still don't see us going to the NBA Finals. But I'll tell you what. There's not a lot of series in the East where I'm not confident we have the best player on the floor. I would say Giannis.
I was about to say, you got, well, for sure you have Giannis.
Yeah. I respect Jason Tatum's game. But I actually do not believe at this point that he is the better player on the floor. With all that Brunson does, the way he does it, the way he fucking.
So you're saying runs his team. Jason Tatum is not him, as the kids say.
Exactly. So, a friend of mine, I want to say a couple things about Jalen Brunson, who I think should be in MVP contention. And we talked about that with Ethan Strauss in the last episode. He's not going to be. I think it's offensive that he's not at least being talked about by anybody but me and Kendrick Perkins. I think he should be first team all NBA. He's not going to be. It's fine. I don't give a fuck. You know, none of that shit means anything to me. But, like, I'm offended on his behalf. But let me, I want to say a couple things about Jalen Brunson. One, Jalen Brunson, in a season where the Knicks didn't have Randall for the whole down stretch, Anunoby came, immediately got hurt. They didn't have Mitchell Robinson. For him to do all of this shit with half of a team, the majority of the year, 50 wins in the 2 seed. Like, when you talk about, and we have said this about the NBA before many, many times, the most valuable player award doesn't go to the most valuable player. Okay. I don't think that there's a more valuable player to their specific team this year than Jalen Brunson. But that's fine. That's why the MVP award is no longer the MVP award. Now, I am a little worried. Like, the Knicks do get a little bit, they get a little bit college ball-ish at the end of games with how great he's been playing. Just give it to Jalen Brunson and let him do his thing. I don't love that. That's not my favorite thing. Like, I don't mind if you want to go to Jalen Brunson, but have a fucking play. And also, don't be afraid to go away from fucking Jalen Brunson sometime. Like, everybody thinks you're going to zig, maybe fucking zag from time to time. So it gets a little bit like they did it for a while with Randall. Brunson is now clearly the man. But you got, you know, we need a little bit of that fucking, you know, it's okay not to put the game in his hands. Like, I hate that whole Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, like, dude, Jordan passed a couple of them. Like, I hate that whole that you have to be the guy that took it, takes this shot. LeBron was never that guy. It's one of the reasons I love LeBron. I just don't think that that's necessarily the fucking way you got to go. Now, that being said, I think he's just been unreal. Like, I've been seeing, he's the best Knicks since Patrick Ewing. It's not fucking close. I'm astounded at what he's been able to do with this team. Absolutely fucking astounded. A friend of mine asked me today, how would you describe Jalen Brunson to somebody if, you know, the plop right in front of you, they haven't watched basketball in 10 years. I said, he's Derek Fisher if he got bit by a radioactive spider. Like, he's Derek Fisher with superpowers. I said, he's Stephon Marbury if instead of crazy, he's that amount of crafty. Like, he's the New York Knicks point guard that I've wanted since my whole life. Mark Jackson wasn't it. Rod Strickland wasn't it. Derek Harper wasn't it. Charlie Ward wasn't it. Steph Marbury wasn't it. Chauncey Billups wasn't it. Steve Francis wasn't it. Like, he's the Knicks point guard I've wanted my entire life. And as a kid who played point guard, I've been fucking waiting for this. I'm a Jalen Brunson fucking stan. I'm over the age of in my life where I buy players jerseys, but I'm like, am I making an exception for my man Jalen Brunson?
I was literally about to ask you that. Are you going to get a jersey?
I probably won't, but I was on the Roommates Pod website today. I was like, I'm going to try to go to a Knicks playoff game while I'm home. I'm like, do I just get a Jalen Brunson Roommates Pod shirt? Like, how do I show my support without, like, buying a man who's nearly 20 years younger than me's jersey? It's weird to wear a jersey with a guy's 20 years younger than you.
Yeah, I know. And everybody does it. It's so fucking weird. Sorry, guys. It's weird. So, are you liking the Celtics? But let's talk about the actual playoffs, who we like coming out of each conference.
Yeah. I like the Celtics because and I've talked about this on this podcast before. I'll say it again. I'm like, you know, I'm not the world's biggest Julius Randle fan, but it sucks that we just don't have, like, I would have loved anything for Julius Randle, but now we just don't have Julius Randle and we don't have anything replacing him. We need to upgrade at the four this summer. But what hurts me the most, you know, I'm a big Kristaps Porzingis fan. I thought he was like the Celtics have Kristaps Porzingis and we don't. That's the difference in that series. And that's fucking devastating. And we don't even have the guy we replaced Kristaps Porzingis with. So that's why I am hopeful that the Knicks could give the Celtics a fucking series. And by God, if Jalen Brunson, if they were to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and somehow get through, Jalen Brunson will have his number fucking retired this summer. But in the end, listen, the Knicks are going to have a hard time without a Julius Randle, just, you know, without a guy in that position to get through a Heat team or an Embiid team or a Giannis team who they would be potentially matched up in the second round. I have faith in them doing the first round. Second round would get dicey. Third round would really be hard. I would have a hard time if I was a Knicks fan believing that we would beat the Celtics. Anything is possible, as a famous Celtic once said, but I wouldn't be confident in it. And the reason is they have Kristaps Porzingis and we don't. We have the best player on the floor, if I'm being totally honest, but they're just so much deeper.
You know what rabbit hole I fell down the other day? For some reason, I was looking at Ben Simmons shit. I know, so random, right? It's like you forget this guy existed. I mean, it's true. It's just crazy. We talked about him recently on the show. And then I was looking at that draft. Bro, and I don't know how this compares to other NBA drafts, there were a lot of busts in this 2016 NBA draft. Have you ever looked at this?
Did we watch this in San Francisco? Was that the Ben Simmons draft? Or were you not there with me that trip?
Like no, we I wasn't there. That was 2016. I wasn't there. We watched, we were in San Francisco 2018. Are you talking about when I met the chick who, the whole thing?
Yeah.
The chick from Bumble whose ex-husband was apparently like jerking off her dog.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, could be a great re-release episode.
Yeah. I think it's been requested a few times.
No, I'm talking when she came to visit me.
Oh, with that episode.
When I explain, nobody's listed that. Here's a good one for you.
I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe I shouldn't throw it out there. Didn't we have to do like major edits on one of the San Francisco pods?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
Because I was like, what, drunk?
We couldn't put that out there ever. Ever.
I don't even know what was said.
It's fun. I re-listened to it. It wasn't just you drunk. I'm stoned out of my mind. I re-listened to it. It's funny you bring that up. Probably in the last year, actually.
When you met that chick, right?
Yeah. But what no one's asked to re-release on Substack is the episode after she then visited me in LA.
Right. When she was throwing bottles at fucking signs and shit.
When I learned she's a raging alcoholic.
Right.
And then she told me the whole thing about her ex-husband jerking off their mastiff or some shit. Like, it's a wild episode.
Yeah.
That'd be a good re-release just to hear me explaining what happened. If SoundCloud gets it together. I couldn't go back. I kept messing with it last night.
Huh.
I was like, I want to re-release. I was in that mood. I was like, I want to re-release something. The Dirtballs deserve it. And I messed with it forever. I kept scrolling down and it would only stop at a certain point. Then I'd refresh the page. I'd scroll down. I messed with it for like 30 minutes. And I go, maybe there's just, it wasn't something we did. There's some glitch going on. And
yeah.
It said, you know, must refresh page.
I think you can do it on a back end, by the way. I think you can look at your list of episodes like within a back end, which might make it easier to scroll.
Yeah. Okay.
Because what you're probably looking at is the front end, but with it just privated.
Correct.
Yeah, I think there's a way to look at it on the back end. But I
can't. No. I'm logged into Dirty Sports.
No, I know. I'm saying, but you're looking at like the regular old feed. It's just like, this one's locked.
Correct.
I think there's a way to look at all your episodes in a back end, but we'll fuck with that another time. I don't even remember what was said in the San Francisco episode that was like,
bro. So the San Francisco episode, here's a little.
It was like cancelable stuff, or I was like giving information I shouldn't have given?
Both.
I feel like I talked about like my friends and my family.
Actually, there might be ways around it. That might be the episode.
I was talking about like John stuff.
John and the Turtle.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about that before, though.
We have. That was after the Tonga Room.
That's right.
So we got pizza down the street from your buddy's place.
Yeah.
And we're just, I'm stoned out of my mind. You're drunk out of your mind. And we're just slamming pizza as we do this pot on his couch.
I remember that. Yeah.
Neither of us could barely open our eyes. And we're just like, that's fucking pot, man. Is there anything better than late night pizza when you're messed up?
No.
Nothing better, is there?
No, there's not.
Like, I'll put this out there for the Dirtball fam. You tell me something that hits better when you're under the influence of some sort of mind-altering substance, any kind of drug. What even comes close to greasy pizza? I can't think of anything.
Dude, I'm just thinking about it now all the times. And my buddy just told me this place is gone. All the times I got off the subway in Brooklyn, going back to the 131 late at night. And there was like the pizza place had to be open until fucking 5 a.m. Anna Maria's Pizza. And you just go in there, wasted. The guy would see me come in. He's like, one pepperoni, one cheese, for here to stay. I'd be like, he'd always fuck with me. For here to stay. To go? Yeah, I know. I know, brother.
That's what I'm
walking
saying.
Walking out, fucking eating it. Like, you need a, I was like, I don't need shit but a plate and a napkin, dog.
You can't even think. Like, you, neither of us have even named a certain thing that could, like, tacos don't come close. Nachos don't come close. No. You're not getting like a late night burger. Not that you can't hit up a drive through, but none of that comes close to a late night slice of pizza or a couple slices of pizza.
The only thing that even possibly comes close, and it's not one item, but the only, like, if you were like gun to your head, you can only do one thing late night, I'd be like pizza. And you're like two things, I'd be like a late night diner stop.
Okay.
Like, just going in and being like, yeah, let me do like a fucking hot open faced turkey sandwich and a chocolate milkshake. And this guy's like, what the fuck are you boys on?
No, that's fair. You know me. I love diners.
Yeah.
Late night diners. That's fair. But I was more of, that's a sit down.
For sure.
I'm talking to go.
Yeah.
You're not coming
nothing,
close.
No Taco Bell doesn't hit like a good slice of pizza. No fucking. No McDonald's late night. None of that shit. No way.
Don't even come close.
No.
I mean, if I ever lived in New York during my heyday, oh, the amount of money I would have given to late night pizza spots.
Oh, dude, you know how many times I walked into a late night pizza spot? Like, I'll take one of those slices as is, hand it to me right now. And they're like, you don't want to heat it up? I'm like, nah, it's good. All right. Ain't nobody got time for heating it up. Give me one of those. I'd eat so many fucking Sicilian slices as, like, give me that Sicilian slice. If you go as is, you go the Sicilian as is.
Interesting.
I got a fucking mouth-watering craving for some late night pizza right now.
I know. Sorry, I'm doing this, and I know you got pizza waiting for you. What's the pizza sitch where you live?
Well, that's a great question. We haven't done a ton of pizza here. We definitely haven't found like a spot yet, but my girl was like, hey, is it cool we just like do pizza tonight? And I was like, yeah. And then she was like, cool, I just ordered some. And I was like, where'd you order from? I was like, I don't know. And so the slice she gave me right before the show started was pretty good. So I guess I'm about to find out.
That's key. Find a good little pizza spot, man.
Yeah.
There's got to be something.
Oh, I'm sure there is. It's hard not to have like a pizza spot, you know?
Yeah. All right. So let's look at the West.
Let's do it.
You still think the Nugs will come out?
I do think the Nugs will come out. It's really hard for me to bet against the Nuggets right now. I think that the Nuggets could absolutely lose, but I think that they're the favorite. I mean, you know, it feels like Jokic has that Shaq, obviously not like Shaq did, but that like cruise control regular season thing on, and he still ended up fucking tied for first in the West, tied for the best record in the West. tiebreaker gives them the 2 seed, but like you're playing at elevation, you're playing fucking like I don't see, you know, the Lakers getting a 7 seed and upsetting the Nuggets. Although I guess I'd give the Lakers, and you know, people just call me a LeBron slurper, but I think I'd give the Lakers a better chance than maybe any team up until they were to get to a Western Conference Finals. Like, I don't think them, whoever they would have to play in a, who would be the 3 right now? Like Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
So if the first round goes down and you go 1, 2, 3, 4, like I actually in a way think that, you know, the Lakers do have a better chance than Minnesota. I think that Minnesota has a chance to beat them as well in a second round series, but Minnesota's going to have their hands full in the first fucking round. Who's the 6 seed right now? Minnesota's got Phoenix.
Yeah.
Like Minnesota's going to have their hands full. And also just like, this is where you're at in the NBA. Anthony Edwards is great, but this is year one of them with fucking serious playoff, you know, like a high playoff seed. Like, I'm still going to defer to a Jokic team, a LeBron team, a Kevin Durant team. Like, that's going to be a tough series for them.
Yeah.
The 8 seed would be the loser of that game. So, like, dude, OKC is pretty good. I think OKC would likely handle whoever comes out of the 8, 9, 10 spot. But, like, all those teams have a fucking puncher's chance. And like you said before, like, dude, LeBron and everything that LeBron brings from, like, the mental side of it against an OKC team in round one, I don't think that's going to be the draw. But, like, New Orleans, OKC, like, OKC, you know, I don't think it's just going to – I think for those teams that don't have experience, like, I just don't see them cruising. So, you
know – Well, Minnesota – is Minnesota – would they be a good comparison to, like, last year's Kings team?
And I made this comparison earlier in this show and in the pod, and I think that they are, except I don't see – I don't know if you recall this, but coming into this year, I predicted a step back from the Kings. I was like, everybody fucking loved them. Everybody thinks this is the future. You know, here's the future of the Kings. The Kings – now the Kings are going to be like a fucking top four seed. I was like, they're not going to – you're not going to have a home playoff series this year. I predicted that. I was right. I think Minnesota is on the correct actual trajectory. I think this is the beginning of Minnesota competing in the West. But first thing you got to do is you got to get through a fucking Suns team.
Veterans.
And also, you know, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker are still Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. It's like in the NBA, you have these guys that just go, huh, I'm going to lose my fucking mind for a game. Like, it's happened before and it will happen again. And I wouldn't be surprised. Like, so yeah, I think it's going to be tough. It's why I think Denver comes out of the West. Denver has experience. Denver has the best player. Denver has home court until the Western Conference Finals. Denver might have home court in the Western Conference Finals if OKC gets upset. Because I'll tell you another thing. If with OKC being the one, they don't have to face the two seed until the Western Conference Finals. Like, let's say OKC does cruise through that first round. You know, the winner of a 4-5 series. You're telling me that Luka can't lose his mind for an entire series? You're telling me a Denver-Dallas Western Conference Finals after Luka beats the Clippers and Luka beats the Thunder isn't possible? It's possible. It's possible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have a lot of interesting matchups.
You have a
Clippers, Mavs.
I love Chris Wilde, but I think the Mavs are going to win that series. I love you, Chris. I know you're not listening to this. I love you, but I think the Mavs win that series. Luka's the best player on the court. I'm always going to defer there. If you look at the two teams and you go, this guy's the best player on the court, but, like, and I said this before, and I truly feel this way. This isn't me being a Knicks fucking homer. Like, in a Celtics-Knicks series, I think the Knicks have the best player on the court, but I think that it's a long fucking way down before they get to the next best player. So it's like, I don't think they win.
Yeah.
The problem, if you're a Lakers fan or a LeBron stan like myself, is he might just be going up against the one guy who, with all the things, he's still better. You know what I mean? Like, Jokic is the best player on planet Earth right now. All the things considered. Everything he does for teammates, the way he passes, the way the offense runs through him.
Where would you put LeBron right now? If I just said, you know, I don't want to go too far into it because it's pointless, but is he top five right now in the NBA?
In terms of what he brings to a team, not just like what he's doing, like, this isn't, basketball's not one-on-one.
Yeah.
Like, obviously right now, SGA or Anthony Edwards or Jason Tatum or whatever. Like, in a vacuum.
But you're talking the leadership,
the passing, the on-floor fucking coaching, offense, defense, all the experience.
Which is huge for playoffs.
Huge. That's why I'm saying, like, I don't know if there's fucking three guys I have in front of him. When you talk about what they bring to their team. Obviously, LeBron's not a top five NBA guy in terms of, like, all that he, like, you know, in I don't know, efficiency rating right now or anything like that. But, like, that shit doesn't matter. Like, it's not a one-on-one game.
Would you say LeBron James is a late-night slice of pizza?
LeBron James, dude. Yes.
By the way, I got my Michael. You can't see it.
I love that I saw you write it down and then ask me. You're like, here we go.
I'll just fucking around.
He's goading LeBron right now.
Yeah, it might be a title. We'll see.
Yeah.
I got my Michael Jordan thing hanging.
Yeah.
Did you see it the other day?
I did. I saw it when we had a little Zoom meeting. But give everybody a look. I like that. Super cool.
So you can see.
Hanging over the Mark Messier.
That's going to be replaced.
No, it's so good.
You can see the thing where I was actually patching up a hole in the wall. But yeah, so this is the great angle. This is everybody's black and white except for Jordan is in his Bulls color. Mm-hmm. But what's cool too is for some reason they decided to highlight one Bulls fan in there too. I don't know why, because there's a few Bulls fans in there. You know, this is in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Which, a quick promo, speaking of Salt Lake, I know they're getting a hockey team. They're getting the Coyotes.
We really need Clatt to come on and talk about
that. That's what I was getting to. I've already set it up. He reached out.
We need Clatt because I thought Phoenix was like this, like, oh, they love their fucking hockey team.
No, they've been a shit show. I knew that since they went to Phoenix.
Since they went there? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so Clatt is, we're working around the 22nd. Cool. Week from Monday. Come on the show.
Since we're doing shout outs and we're doing asides, I want to shout out you know our 315 crew. The Upstate New York 315 crew. Just want to shout out LeGoy. It's LeGoy's birthday today. Shout out to LeGoy of the 315 crew. Happy birthday, buddy.
What number? Do you know?
No, I don't know. But I'm going to guess.
Uh, 32?
I want to say like 30?
Okay, I was close.
29? Zach Olmstead, who gave me the heads up.
Who's Florida? Whose couch or floor did Yoshi sleep on in New York? One of those guys.
Oh, I don't know.
Was it Olmstead?
Maybe. In New York City?
Yeah.
Must have been Olmstead that. I think he was the New York City member.
I think Yoshi slept on his couch.
Amazing.
Hopefully we can get Yoshi on this week. To talk about that, if he remembers. How many podcast listeners, couches, or just places has Yoshi stay at? Not, I'm talking beyond our show.
Oh. I mean, 75? 100? He doesn't have a home.
He's never had a home.
It's crazy. Yoshi's homeless. Like, I love that we talk about, like, we'll be like, Yoshi hit a homeless guy with his car. No, a homeless guy hit a homeless guy with his car. Like, Yoshi's homeless.
Homeless on homeless crime.
Dude, Yoshi is homeless. Yoshi's never had a home as long as I've known him.
Well, no, he, you know who he's
like, I'm living on Randy Puga's couch.
Is that who he lived with forever in California?
I think so.
Yeah, I went there. It was way out there. But you're right.
Yo, if you're living on somebody's couch, you're home. You're still homeless.
Yeah, you're right. We kind of had that wrong all along. It was a homeless on homeless crime.
Yeah. In fact, the way the story should be told is a homeless guy ran over some Venice local.
I mean, then I think
Yoshi's
about
the
it.
Homeless guy in that
then
story.
I think about it. When Yoshi's
fucking pointing Spider-Man meme.
I mean, Yoshi stayed with me for one night. This is classic homeless. He stayed with me one night when he was in Cincinnati. He asked me if he could do laundry.
Oh, yeah. That's the most homeless. That's the definition of homeless. Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, let me show you. Let me show you where the washing machine is.
In fact, that's the only reason he was there. He came to do laundry. Otherwise, he would have like slept under the deck of a serial killer's former childhood home.
Holy shit.
You hear something in our crawl space? Oh, yeah. This like serial killer guy is a serial killer fan sleeping in our crawl space.
Well, we'll have to bring him on to...
Dude, you got that kid sickness. I can hear it in your voice.
I'm sorry, guys. Like, dude, she gave me everything she had last week. It's unbelievable. Well, you know, I haven't even talked about the nose suction.
Oh, dude, I know all about it. Don't make me vomit. I know all about the nose suction. Yeah. Sucking fucking mucus out of your kid's nose with like a fucking sucker thing.
Yeah, we suck mucus out of her nose. And there's a filter in there.
You do it with like the pump thing?
No.
You do it with the... You siphon it out?
I siphon it out.
Well, now you know why you're fucking sick, dude. You're literally doing bong hits of fucking baby.
So
baby
they're popular because you got to get... The snot's nonstop. And Brittany was saying she was getting sick from it. I'm like, no, it's. And then I was like, I just have bad allergies. But now I'm like, because she stopped doing it. She's like,
there's
fuck
like
this.
A pump version of it.
That one's hella expensive.
Is it?
There's one that's $140. The one we use is like $30 free to baby.
Yeah. My sister was doing it too. And I was like, what is wrong with you? My sister's just sitting there doing ripping bong hits of snot. I'm like, what is.
The snot doesn't go in your mouth.
I know, but still.
Okay, confession. I kind of get off on it, like
get
weird,
off on it.
Like not get off, but like, yeah, that was a terrible.
That was a fuck. Like, what are you, Yoshi?
Yeah, that was a terrible thing to say. Like, I find it like when I say get off, it's like popping a zit. You're like getting all that snot out.
Ugh.
That's what I mean.
To have this beer on a Sunday night and enjoy it. So I swear sometimes this shit's like fucking birth control.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, then we gotta figure something out. I might drop $140 because I'm like, I can't.
But I'm talking about like a hand pump kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's $140?
No.
Yeah.
Are you about the one you just squeeze?
No, not like blow it in. Not like you know, like think about like when you do whatchamacallit, like your blood pressure or whatever. It's got like one of those things on it.
Yeah, that's $10. Our thing is 20. What I'm talking about is this thing. I'm going to show you real quick. This is where our show's at. This thing.
I'm not paid to listen to Andy blow snot out of his kid's nose. Shout out
this
to all the
one,
people who do pay for this.
No, the dirtballs love it. There's
I love it. That's all that matters.
What the fuck is this thing? I saw it today. I was like, $140? Fucking, that's your birth control. These kids are just, they're just money vacuums, dude. They'll take everything. Anyway, I don't
just
know.
Just a reminder for you guys that Substack, if you're listening free via, you know, YouTube right now, or if we have not put up the free preview point, mere $7 a month or $70 for the year, or you can become a founding member and then automatically get access to my Substack page. If you become a founding member of any price, help pay for Andy's nose mucus suction machine.
Yeah.
This kid's got a kid that is nonstop sick. Listen, and it's because he can't afford to take care of her. So sign up for Substack today.
No, man, it's because of that daycare, man.
Shut up, Andy.
Which is expensive, though. So help me out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know how we got here. We were talking about Yoshi. Hoping to have him on. Because I would like to bring up the whole thing happening now with Ohtani's interpreter and the Fed stuff. And the Feds released the report.
Yeah,
I'm not going to go too much into it.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have Yoshi on to do the Ohtani report.
I just don't believe any of it.
Yeah.
None of the shit adds up to me. None of it.
Yeah.
But something I did want to bring up. Have you seen the Caitlin Clark effect already?
On
what? Because we talked about it with the WNBA.
Yeah.
So she's going to be the number one pick.
Yes.
So she's going to go to the Indiana Fever.
Correct.
I think they're projected for the number one pick. 36 of their 40 games are on national TV. It's almost every game.
Yeah.
Because of her.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And also, huge uptick. They've not listed the numbers. Huge uptick in ticket sales already.
And I've seen the, what I have seen a comparison of is like ticket prices for like Fever at Liberty. And then ticket prices for Fever at Liberty, or like ticket price for somebody else at Liberty, like the next game. It's like five times the fucking prices.
Like this is their moment.
Yeah. This is the first chance for the WNBA to ever start thinking about, start heading toward profitability.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Meanwhile, you got Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird scissoring each other, be like, fucking try it, bitch. And you're like, girls, do you want to get paid?
She's already revolutionized. Yeah.
You want to get paid like Starbucks employees? You want to make the same amount you'd make if you worked at fucking Panera Bread? What are you girls doing?
Yeah. She's already changing the game. It's crazy. I like to pat myself on the back because we've gone an hour and I haven't even mentioned any OJ updates.
We're only a couple weeks removed from Easter. Did he rise from the dead? Do we have updates? I think we have our last update.
Well, here's some updates. First off, everybody who saw him before he died had to sign an NDA. It's wild.
Yeah.
You see this?
Yeah.
So his kids, friends, whoever visited him, had to sign an NDA, and nobody's allowed to have their phones in the room while saying their goodbyes. And then his lawyer, because he lost the civil lawsuit that the Goldmans and Brown family filed.
Right.
His lawyer, it was a $33 million payout, right?
Right.
What?
They never saw any of that money. They never will.
Barely any. Well, that's what the lawyer's saying. Like, we're not giving him shit.
That's what the lawyer's saying. That's what OJ's lawyer is saying to the Goldmans?
Yeah.
Yeah. What a piece of shit.
He said, it is my hope. This guy's such a piece of shit. It is my hope that the Goldmans get zero, nothing. He said them specifically. And I will do everything in my capacity as the executor or personal representative to try to ensure that they get nothing. Fuck.
Guy's bringing back some fucking glasses. And he's dead. And this is what his lawyer's saying?
Well, and then there was that Twitter post.
Yeah.
So is this a person?
What do you mean, is it a person?
Well, I mean, they have their name, but I never know anymore. There's no, they're not showing their face.
I think it's person.
Well, regardless, her name is listed as Nicole Binet. I don't know if the T's silent. So she released this long thing on Twitter. You sent it to me. A bunch of dirtballs sent it to me. Basically, she had to wait till OJ was dead to tell
Because she signed an NDA.
Because she signed an NDA.
The gist of the story, if I'm not mistaken, is she was studying law. Was that it?
She was at USC. Working. This is in the mid-90s, right when the OJ shit is going on.
Post-murder, right. Pre-trial.
Is this pre-trial or is this after he's acquitted?
I think post-murder, pre-trial.
Yeah, so in 95, yeah, that'd be right. The murder happened 94, trial 95. Anyway, she says in early 95, Robert Shapiro and Robert Kardashian basically approached her boss. And, she was studying to be a criminal defense attorney.
Right.
And anyway, basically.
At USC.
At USC. And so this is what happened when OJ. Now let's go back in time when OJ played at USC as a football player.
Yes.
OJ basically sexually assaulted and battered multiple women, two women, and the university paid off the two families. And they both allegedly had gone to the LAPD to report it. But
now, of course, OJ, one of one, is like, he was never convicted.
OJ, one of one.
Juice, one of one. Juice is one of one.
So at this point, yeah, you're right. At this point, OJ had been in custody for 6 months. And this is why this is important for the whole legal process. The lawyers were in the discovery process. I think we should explain that to people who don't know what that means.
If you discover something, it has to be shared with the other legal team.
Correct. So they're in
anything that you're going to enter into, you know, as evidence, blah, blah, blah. Both people get to see. There's no sneak attacks. In this instance,
they would say there's a history of him being violent towards women. So this would be presentable in that case.
If they had paperwork that said, hey, there's this incident report or anything.
Correct.
Like yeah.
So Robert Kardashian, who's one of OJ's lawyers and also USC classmates.
And also stepdad to his OJ's daughter, Chloe.
Yes. Made sure that this was paid off by USC.
And she went to USC, Kardashian, who also went to USC, and Shapiro went there, gave this guy at USC a straight up check. Gave him a check. Get rid of this shit. And this girl says she saw the check. Knows they got rid of the shit. Had to sign an NDA.
Yeah. And she couldn't discuss
like,
that.
Fucking
until
also,
he died.
But also, we knew all this shit. Like, there's audio recordings of, remember, like, you've heard the audio recording of, like,
oh, yeah.
When the sister finds out, I knew he was going to kill her one day. And then there's obviously he's going to kill me. Nicole saying he's going to kill me on a 911 call.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
No one, you know, like, obviously, this is an interesting story, but this chick was like, OJ beat up women. It's like, bitch, we know. In fact, he cut one's head off.
Yeah, that's true. But I think it just goes to show.
Yeah, that this shit was out there and all the
in the 60s. Like, yeah, he was doing this in the 60s.
Yeah. This dude was the LeBron James of beating up women. You're like, how is he still good at this 30 years later?
Well, like, I tell you what.
This guy don't quit.
What's amazing is how brainwashed his family is.
Yeah.
Because they still vouch for, dude, if my dad was a murderer, I'm not vouching for him. And also, they're making sure that his body is cremated. I don't know if you saw this. Because of his will, they're like, no way we're gonna let the brain go to any CTE research. Which you're like, wouldn't that vindicate your dad maybe a little? You know, you're still a murderer, but like you can always use that as an excuse.
Yeah. I mean, no. I've said it 1,000 times. If that shit happened today, they'd be like, we want to move the trial up. And by the way, discovery, you don't need to discover this. We're saying the SCTE.
Yeah.
If I ever murder anybody, I'm pointing to my fucking 2 football concussions. I'm like, SCTE. Shit is crazy.
I'm pointing to my traumatic brain injury. I'm one-upping you, dude. They're just going to hold up a picture of my face after the one with my mom. When I'm at the beach. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I love telling people my story, and then they're like, they don't get it. And I'm just like, let me show you this picture.
And they're like, whoa, what the fuck happened to you?
Whoa. My brother says that pops up every time I call.
You put that in as your picture?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
My other brother calls me he said, it's like, I think I'm like in his phone, it's Elephant Man or something, and that comes up. There's a reference most dirt balls won't get. Do you know the Elephant Man's name?
No.
John Merrick.
Why would you know that?
Because we used to laugh in high school. They did like a movie about it. He's like, my name is John Merrick. And he's, you know, it's from like Black and White Days. He just looks like a freak.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was our high school. That's the shit we would laugh at. So I want to bring up this Tom Brady thing as we were talking about before the show.
Well, you said traumatic brain injury before. I was like, TBI. It's very close to TB12.
It is.
Which Tom Brady's been pushing on people forever. Now, let's talk about how Tom Brady thinks all these players today are too much about their own brands. On his haircut TV show? The fuck is life?
Tom Brady says he's not opposed to returning to the NFL. Come on, dude. Why are you doing this?
Go away.
He said on the Deep Cut with Vic Bled's podcast.
It's too bad you're not opposed to it, Tom. Everybody else is opposed to it. All in favor, say aye. Tom Brady, aye. All against, nay. The whole world, nay.
And we all know how much of a Tom Brady guy I am, but it's like, dude, why are you, don't do this. Is Jordan Wizards, man. Come on, stop this.
I tweeted it when I saw this story. I was like, Tom Brady, herpes, things that just will never fucking go away. Handshake.
Yes, it's Jordan Wizards crap. Dude, you didn't end on a Super Bowl, but you still ended pretty good. So just leave it that way.
Let it go. Let it go.
I know.
And you know what? Here's the thing.
And he already has a job, Joe. He's already making a fuck ton of money.
That's why I brought up the thing. I saw the quote today. He at some point in this getting a haircut TV show, like, what is this? He said, like, oh, I mean, I think the big problem with all these players today. It's all about their fucking brands, and they're like, being attention whores and whatever. It's like, dude, you're still talking about playing.
Yeah.
Like, is there anybody you seek? Is there a more attention seeking behavior than I want to come back because you've been out of football for 15 minutes? You're like, is no one talking about me?
Yeah, I know.
Maybe I'll play in the NFL again.
It's ridiculous. Just go become the Fox announcer, man. That's what you're doing.
Can we have Matty Goldberg on the episode after we have Yoshi on to defend this Tom Brady thing? You guys are such haters. He's just trying to get a haircut on television.
I don't think he'd defend it, to be honest. I don't think he would.
You guys, you hate Tom Brady. It's just fucking, no matter what Tom Brady does, he's going to hate him. It's like a guy can't get a haircut on TV anymore.
I mean, that was the premise of a broad show.
What's that?
It was the premise of LeBron's show.
Yeah. I mean, the premise of LeBron's show is like the black barbershop is where people sit around and talk.
Sure. All right. I'm clearly really struggling. Jesus. Like, sorry, guys. I know the dirt bro's like, this is not cool to hear.
If there's any dirt balls that want to suck Andy's mucus out of his nose, Andy's mucus bong.
It wouldn't stop. You'd be doing it all day. Do you want to get to a couple calls?
Yeah, sure.
Let's get to a couple calls, though. I can power through this. 310-359-8365. That is the hotline. And give us a ring. So this actually, this will play well. This was, some of these are older for the record, but this was called about Coach Cal and UConn, and it plays well since Kentucky just hired their coach.
So, boys, the Teflon Don, John Calipari, headed to Fayetteville, Arkansas, leaving Kentucky, one of the Blue Bloods, Big Blue Nation. You may ask why. Granted, he's run his course there. He's been there 15 years, national championship, multiple Final Fours. Now you'll say, well, can he recreate what he has done at Kentucky and Arkansas? And the answer is 100% yes. He now has access to the largest NIL, more than $8 million between Walmart money and Tyson Foods. So we got the Walmart and chicken going to be taking care of Cal at Fayetteville. So it just seems it's just a dirty sport. It stinks. And quickly, UConn, not that great of a team. College basketball just absolutely stinks. They don't rank in the top 10 of all-time teams. And you can say, well, sports have evolved. They get better every year. College basketball hasn't. It stinks. Stay dirty, boys.
Well, so that was our boy John Smith, obviously.
Yeah, that was John Smith. So here again, because neither of us really follow, but I was actually thinking this when I saw Kentucky hires – right, and a former player, Mark Pope, who coached at Utah State, then BYU, never has won an NCAA tournament game. This is how far this is how far everything's changed in Kentucky. Think about it. They didn't get a single coach they wanted. Everybody that they wanted, whether it was Hurley or Bama's coach or Baylor's coach or Billy Donovan from the Bulls, everybody's like, nah, I'm good. Like to me, that shows you how things have changed, and also, it doesn't fucking matter, man.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you agree? Like back in the
day, absolutely. I mean, John's already talking about you know, the NIL money of that he's gonna have at Arkansas. You're like, dude, it's crazy that that's something that you're factoring in now. As essentially being like, oh, that, you know, he went to a team with a better cap situation.
Well, it's true. Like if you're a stud high school kid, do you care about Kentucky's history, or do you want to go to the place that's going to make you more money?
Also, you're going to be there for 4 months. You're going to be there for 6 months.
Yeah.
So of course you don't care. And then, you know, you talk about, John was saying, the quality of college basketball. I mean, I've been saying that for God knows how long, because what UConn does, and we talked about it, is they have that bridge. They have a pretty good, perfectly bridged situation where it's like, oh, they don't have 5 one-and-doners. They have 1 or 2 one-and-doners, and then they balance it out with the team, whatever. But like, when you look at, when you go back in college basketball, you had guys who ended up being NBA draft picks, that like high NBA draft picks, 2 or 3 of them on a team together, they were juniors or seniors.
Yeah.
So like, in terms of winning basketball, you could talk about like the rosters. You'll never be able to say how good, what the best roster was in college basketball till after they go to the league and you see how everybody did. But like, that's not who they were when they were there. Sure. The best college basketball team of all time is probably in some era in, you know, the late 90s or mid 2000s or whatever, when everybody was staying in school and for at least a couple of years.
Yeah. So we have I think it was a dirty sports top 10, or like a not top 10, I think. In this one.
Like it.
Hey, boys, this is Jim from formerly Pasadena, now in Burbank. Also a founding member by +$1, Price is Right rules. I was going to give my list of Joe's top 10 NBA, but instead of spoiling it and getting it perfectly right, I thought I'd do a not top 10 list for the dirty sports instead, a little bit Letterman style. So number one, Mamba mentality. Two, Carmelo Anthony. Three, IKEA. Four, Ruther's baby hands. Five, non-subsex subscribers. Six, Ruther's grasp of the English language. Seven, Tom Brady teaching an ethics class. Eight, Ruther attending women's study class. Nine, Draymond Green's brain. And 10, the real reason Ruther got beat up. Hashtag racist. I do have a question all related to baseball. My fiance is a huge Mets fan. I watch pretty much every game more than LA because obviously the TV deals are stupid. Related to Alonso signing or not, as a secondary Mets fan, I will be furious if they don't re-sign Alonso in this offseason. I'm curious, Joe, how it will affect your fandom, if at all, if they do not re-sign him. I think that will be a travesty towards our organization, but I've not been a Mets fan for 30 years, so I also don't have all the baggage behind it. So that's my piece. Enjoying the show, as always, guys. Smart move, going to Substack. I hope it works out, and I'll keep listening and donating an extra dollar for you guys. Cheers.
Thanks, Jim.
Appreciate it.
I liked the not top 10. That was fun. It was very Ruther heavy, which I liked.
Unbelievable.
appreciate you being a founding member. It goes a long way. Yeah, I mean, here's my stance on the Mets. Like, I don't give a fuck about what, you know, Stern's baseball strategy is. Pete Alonso's hit more home runs since coming to the major leagues than any other player in baseball. Pete Alonso leads baseball in home runs since Pete Alonso debuted in baseball. Not Aaron Judge, not fucking, you know, Bryce Harper, not any of these guys. Pete Alonso. So to me, Pete Alonso should have already been signed. Pete Alonso should be extended this season before the end of the year. He won't be because of like all this bullshit, but I completely agree. Like we exist in a world now where there's a DH in the National League. There's a DH in the National League. If you don't think Pete Alonso is your future first baseman forever, great. Make him the fucking DH. We exist in a world where the National League has a DH. Pete Alonso should have been signed. Pete Alonso probably should have been signed 3 years ago after he broke the fucking rookie home run record at a lower deal by $200 million than they'll have to give him to sign this offseason. It will absolutely pollute the drinking water that is the fresh cup of liquid that has been Steve Cohen's ownership. If Steve Cohen doesn't pay Pete Alonso, I will be furious.
What kind of contract is that?
Who gives a fuck? There's no salary cap in baseball.
Yeah, I just...
Not only is there no salary cap in baseball, apparently you don't even need to pay... Like, they could defer him... The Shohei Ohtani is deferred money.
True.
So what the fuck are we talking about? Now it doesn't even go toward the luxury tax. I don't give a fuck if he gives him $1 billion. It's not my money. I don't give a shit. Steve Cohen spent like $60 million on a fucking statue for his front yard. I don't give a fuck. What? Defer it. Oh, are you worried that Steve Cohen gave Pete Alonso $2 billion deferred? Why would I be worried? He's worth $100 billion or whatever it is. No, I'm not worried.
Yeah.
There's no salary cap. There is a luxury tax, but apparently you can defer. I literally don't give a fuck what they pay him.
Oh, well, we're going to pay him for 5 years after he's good.
Cool. Not my problem.
Well, that's real easy when you got a guy with that money.
It should be easy. I can't believe. Listen, I know that they were fucking John, oh, you know, we've negotiated with him and we didn't come to a thing, so we're not going to do it. Now we're going to let the year play out and we're going to whatever. The second they found out, the second the Dodgers did the Ohtani deal and they found out that they could just defer all the money, they're like, oh, okay. So you wanted this much? Well, then just have it. Are you cool with it deferred? We'll just bump, we'll tack on 20% and it'll be deferred. You're cool with that? Steve Cohen's building a casino there. What the fuck are we talking about here?
Yeah. True. All right. Well, let us know, guys. 310-359-8365. That's the hotline. Joe's finishing a beer. We're wrapping things up.
Am I cracking another one or are we?
No, I think we're going to wrap it up, dude. I am just.
I'll probably crack one to have with my pizza anyway, but
this time of night, it just, it's
also talking doesn't help. Well, you know, doing the show.
This is the worst it's been, actually.
Yeah. Well, listen, guys, there's really only way to get Andy Ruther back to health, and that's for you to become, to convert your membership to a founding member on Substack. No, thank you guys, everybody who's supporting. You know, it's really cool to see the subscribers continue to come in. It's really good to see some of you people who were like, I'm not going to subscribe and I'll become a free subscriber. I know, I see the names. I see the people and shout out to the people who shoot the messages. I tried to make it 3 weeks without subscribing, but I need you guys. It's like, I appreciate you guys. I appreciate everybody doing this stuff. It's been a fun, I think, injection of energy into the show, and I'm really enjoying it, and I'm really enjoying sort of the pressure that comes with knowing you guys have paid, the pressure that comes with knowing you guys, some of you guys have paid the $5 a month that my thing is, or that I gave you for free because you're a founding member. Like, I'm putting this stuff out there, we're putting this stuff out here. Dirty Slides is now fucking weekly, not just like whenever we feel like doing it. Guests are coming on the show. It's been a fun little ride. And, you know, if it continues to grow, Andy can get a motorized mucus sucker. So he doesn't have to do it analog. And then just like, it's like the scene in a movie, you're like sucking the death out of your daughter and like taking it on yourself. It's like some fucking craziness. Anyway, I will be in New York 1 week from tomorrow. I will be at New York Comedy Club, Stamford, Connecticut, Thursday, April 25th. I hope you guys can make that show. I've also got shows at Westside Comedy Theater in New York on Wednesday, the 24th. I'll be at The Stand on Friday, the 26th. I'll be at The Stand on Monday, the 29th. I'll be at Gotham Comedy Club on Tuesday, the 30th. And I'll be at The Stand again on May 1st. Other spots will be for sure mixed into there. But I'll be on the East Coast. All those dates and more on joeprano.com. Check those out. Follow me on all social media at Joe Prano. And thank you guys for your support.
Oh, I found the nose sucker.
Yeah?
I found it. This is it, man. This is the nose sucker. You put your fingers in it, you turn this machine on, and then you shove that in the kid's nose.
Oh, man, look at that. I was like, what do your fingers have to do with it? Now I see. That is fucking crazy. It's like you're sucking their soul out.
$135 on Amazon. But you know what, dude? Might be worth it. I mean, I can't deal with this anymore.
It's crazy.
I pink guy, dude. I fucking pink guy.
I wish people understood. Like, I feel like unless I saw my sister do it, I wouldn't even know what you've done. Like, I feel like there's dirtballs that don't understand what you've done here. Think about siphoning gas out of a fucking gas tank. Andy Ruther does that with mucus.
Yeah. So,
crazy. The first time I ever saw it, I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? I was sucking mucus out of my nephew's nose with your mouth.
when she bought it, I was like, I'm never going to use that. And then I was like, fucking sick of seeing her. This is what it is. Pull this up. So basically what you do is, as you can see the picture, you suck the snot straight out of their mouth.
Your baby is slimy baby snows. Your next snot sucking Call of Duty.
This is not a good
no,
video.
Not that.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's your filter right here. I don't think it works. I mean, what do you do though? Your kid can't be full of snot.
I know.
What do you do?
I get it, man.
Like, well,
let's let you go because you can go blow your nose.
It's not just blow a nose. I got to use Afrin.
I love that you become fucking Chucky from Rugrats. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to me and Tommy's podcast. Tommy, should we do another podcast on Thursday, Tommy?
God. Look at me. I'm crying. My eyes are so watery. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully, I'll be back and better on Thursday. Have a great start to your week. And as always, stay dirty.